For generations in this country, children were generally better off than their parents. But now hope for the future among a lot of Americans seems to be slumping. A survey by the Wall Street Journal and the National Opinion Research Center finds 3/4 of Americans feel their children will not be better off than they are. Joining us now to talk about economic mobility is John Friedman. He chairs the economics department at Brown University, and he's the founding co-director of Opportunity Insights, the research and policy institute at Harvard that tracks economic mobility. John Friedman, hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me on.
Great to have you. Can you start with some context for what we find in this survey? You and your team have tracked a persistent decline over decades in the number of children who grow up to earn more than their parents. Can you give us the long view of the data?
So if we go back to children born during or right after World War II, more than 90% of those children grew up to earn more than their parents did a generation earlier. And so it's completely true that there was a time in American history when this was almost a guarantee. But what we've seen over the past half century or so is that the chances of this have faded. So that by the time when I was born in 1980, children in 1980 only have a coin flips chance, 50-50, of growing up to earn more than their parents did.
Yeah. Is there a way you connect this research? I mean, this is a defining paper that you co-wrote. Is there a way to connect that to this new survey where I believe 78% of respondents say, I'm not optimistic my children will be better off than I am?
So there are two main factors that drive this decline that my colleagues found in this study. One is just the overall level of growth in the country. You can imagine the faster that everybody's growing, the more likely it is that any given child grows up to earn more than his or her parents did.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever one comes to somewhat uncertain economic times, as we are having now, are we going to escape this COVID-19 recession? Are we going to fall back into a recession? People's concerns about these types of things tend to resurface. But the second factor, and quantitatively this is actually more important, comes around not how fast the country is growing on average, but who within the country is benefiting from that growth. If you look in the first generation after World War II, we had very balanced growth. If the U.S. as a whole was growing at 3 or 4%, what you found was that throughout the income distribution, incomes were rising at 3 or 4%. And in fact, in many years, you saw higher income growth for people in the middle and bottom of the income distribution. Since 1980, that's really flipped. Income growth has been much faster at the top of the income distribution. And even in the middle and bottom of the income distribution, we've had not just slow, but in many years, no growth at all. Right? Median wages have really not grown that much since the 80s. Whenever people think about these economic difficulties, it again rises these concerns of not just are we going to have growth, but are we going to have balanced growth that will benefit everybody in a way that can really pull everyone up no matter where they're starting.
Mm. You seem to be talking about the story that many Americans tell themselves of this economic mobility. How do you think about how to bring that back?
So there have been a lot of changes in the economic environment over the past 40 years that we now have quite good data to show have disproportionately benefited those with more education and in higher paying industries or occupations. So for instance, the rise of the IT sector, that's created a lot of high paying jobs, but it's also served to displace many middle managers who in 1980 would have a job largely doing what's now done by computers. There's a very similar story to be told about the rise in globalization and trade, where that's served to lower employment and lower wages in certain sectors. a lot of the policies that you see today reflect a growing understanding that while these factors have been good for growth overall, they've maybe not delivered the balanced growth that some people at least had once hoped for. And so I think there's both the very directed policies around trying to grow back U.S. manufacturing in certain areas, but probably more importantly, it's the policies that are attempting to make sure that every child has access to a high-quality education. I think it's more those factors. Mm. It's not so much that we need to create the jobs for these kids to hold. It's to create the type of educated workforce that can take and that will let new high-paying jobs be created for them.
Mm. And yet what's interesting is that a large number of respondents to this recent study are kind of pessimistic about the value of a college education and whether it's worth it.
This has been one of the broadest misconceptions that has arisen over the past decade or so in the U.S. The gap between the earnings of college graduates and those with only a high school degree has never been higher, and it just continues to grow. Of course, there are ways that one can make a very good living without a college degree. So for instance, there are many skilled tradesmen and women who can get those skills in another way. But what we're seeing in the modern economy is there's really an enormous return to skill of some form. Mm. And whether that's skill as an expert woodworker, skill as a computer programmer, there's increasing value to a lot of these soft skills. It's really a no-brainer to try to increase one's skill.
This idea that for many Americans, economic mobility, climbing the ladder, is not the promise that it used to be. In general, is that something economists agree on?
So it really depends on how you define the ladder. If you look at the chances that a child born into a family at the bottom of the ladder can themselves grow up to reach the top of the ladder, that's changed a little bit over time, but it's been honestly more constant than anything, at least in the data that we have. What has changed, though, is that the rungs of those of that ladder have gotten a lot further apart than they used to be. And also, just the level of income at the bottom of the ladder has really not grown as one would have expected. And so I think one sees how the perception that opportunity is fading away is easily something that people are going to come to when they look at these opportunities. This is particularly true in certain parts of the country and in certain neighborhoods, even within cities. Mm. Opportunity is not equally distributed. When a community starts to feel that there's just no hope for the next generation, I think that moves far beyond being just an economic problem. That becomes something at the root of many of the social problems and political divisions that we see in our society today.
John Friedman chairs the economics department at Brown University, and he tracks economic mobility at Opportunity Insights, the Research and Policy Institute at Harvard. John, thanks for the time.
Thank you so much, Scott.